The following show is dedicated to Mia Park and Barbara Yang. The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga on this rainy Saturday, April 26th. Thursday is May 1st already. I always say this every Saturday. I just can't believe how fast time's going by. They always say the older you get, time goes by fast, but I talked to a lot of young people that said they can't believe it either. So time is either speeding up or something's happening here. Something's in the water. Anyway, the weather forecast for today is a 95% chance of rain, and the meteorologists get paid big bucks for telling you that, but I can tell you right now it's 100%, so put a raincoat on or bring your umbrella with you. I want to welcome a special guest today. He's a really good friend of mine, and he's the one that coined the term the Saratoga All-Star after the opening, so... Pat Kane, good morning, Pat.
Rick, good morning to you, too. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I just, you know, we don't see as much of each other as we used to. You're busier than heck.
Yeah.
And I have no clue what I'm doing. So, you know, it's just, but it's always good to see you. Always good to be with you.
Well, you God, know? I'll tell you, you know, we exchange emails every once in a while or Facebook posts, things like that. But it is a highlight of mine on a Saturday to come and talk to you because who knows what the topic. I mean, we think we're going to start out with a certain topic, and by the end of the hour,
we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
The only thing that I did today was, I think I'll do it on the music portion, Today in History.
Yeah.
And I gave one, and yeah. I'm going to put it to you.
Okay.
All right. 1931.
Oh, yeah, I remember. That was a good year.
Okay, it was a good year.
Yeah.
Lou Gehrig hit a home run
yeah.
today in 1931.
Yeah.
And but he's called out because he passed a runner in front of him.
Oh.
And it cost him the home run title at the end of the year.
No kidding.
Do you know who won the home run title that year?
1931. I would have guessed Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth, but he tied Babe Ruth.
Oh.
They each had 46 home runs.
Yeah.
So he could have won the title if he didn't pass that runner, which to me, I can't believe he had a home run. I don't know. The guy in front of him must have been jumping up and down.
Yeah,
must
exactly.
have won the game or
exactly.
something. You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I that was kind of neat when I read that, you know. So
it is remarkable. I know sometimes when we think, you know, in the era that we're paying attention to is those are the greatest. But when you go back in time and you give people the due that they deserve and they say, well, for example, you know, Babe Ruth, he didn't look very much in shape, but obviously he could hit that ball.
Oh, yeah.
And he was one heck of a pitcher. I mean, if you look at his pitching record, I dare say he could pitch and probably be in the top of the league today. And the reason being is, if you look at how many number of times he pitched and how many times he had a complete game,
yeah.
and I think we stopped pitching complete games probably in the 80s, right?
Probably.
And then,
late 70s, probably good with the Sparky Lyles
right.
and the
right.
Suitors yeah. and all yeah. those guys.
You know, but, you know,
yeah.
Babe Ruth lost a no-hitter in the 13th inning of a game.
Really?
13th inning. Yeah, and he was a starting pitcher.
Well, you know, I think he pitched a lot for Boston. And back then, of course, pitchers could hit up till the DH back in the 70s. But he was such a good hitter that I think when the Yankees got him, they played him in right field so that he could hit yeah. more.
Yeah.
And, you know, it paid off for him because he was an unbelievable hitter. But you're right. As a pitcher, he was unbelievable.
I think it wasn't until Whitey Ford in the 60s was he able – Whitey Ford's record in World Series history, I think, still stands as the winningest pitcher in World
yes,
Series history.
I think he
but
is.
But prior to that was Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth.
And we don't know him as a – I don't know him as a pitcher, but until you look at his record and
right.
realize that. But it is fascinating. But I don't know if you've seen this Tim Kirchen – does a little podcast with his son. I don't know if it's every day or not, but every once in a while I'll see the highlights of it. And they're working their way through. His son is asking him, who's your favorite number one? Or who's your favorite baseball player that wore number two and three and four and five and so forth? And, you know, you sit there and he's coming up with who's number, you know, Derek Jeter's number two.
I saw that on Facebook. They had a guy interview him, I think, and they said, can you name all the retired Yankees, yeah. You know? And they said number one. He gave the name, and he went right on. I mean, the kid knew them all right up to current, yeah. You know?
I had an interesting experience. As you know, I go to Cooperstown fairly regularly. And I was standing there. I was by myself for the portion of the day that I was there. And I'm walking around, and these two guys were in front of me, and they were half my age. Half my age.
13.
12.
Oh, 12. Okay.
So, no, seriously, they were there. And these two guys, they were Met fans. They had Met jerseys on. They had Met hats on. They had these fanny packs that said Mets on. I mean, they were just absolute Mets fans. Those two kids, men, I was walking kind of close enough where I could listen to them because they were talking relatively loud that I could hear. They knew the game of baseball like you read about.
Really?
We think we know, and I think we're pretty good, but boy, these guys were unbelievable. And there's people like Kirchin and others that's their sweet spot. That's what they do. And that's their enjoyment, whether it could be others have music, politics, whatever. These guys were the student of the game. And they'd walk up to, you know, one of the plaques for the Hall of Fame, and they'd give you the rundown of this guy's career. And how did they know it?
I know.
They just deep dive.
Well, when I was younger, I could, of course it was mainly Yankees, but I could tell you batting averages, yep, and the one loss record, just, you know, mm-hmm, you snapped your finger, I could tell you. As I got older, not that I lose my enthusiasm for the Yankees, but the little minutiae details, I don't, you know, you can't remember much anymore of that. But, you know,
sit back and think about Yogi Berra had 10 World Series rings. 10.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Right? Yeah. And that's what Kirchin was saying. He's like, you know, you look at like the Bill Russells in basketball. I think he had 12 or 13 championships.
Right.
I mean, there's no, hey, I was lucky I played on the right team. None of that. You know, they were the team.
Yeah, they were.
And if you look at the batting averages and the home runs and all the other things, and being a catcher, an everyday catcher, that is something to speak of.
And if you looked at him, you would not think that he was as good of a catcher all-around baseball player as he was, because he played a little left field, too.
Yeah, he did.
I think when Elston Howard came in, he went in, and he was a good left fielder, too.
Yeah.
Because if he was a bad right fielder, they would have put him in right field.
That's right.
But anyway, I grew up, I'm a little older than you, but I grew up as a kid when they had pitchers like Don Drysdale. And my favorite was Bob Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
Because that guy was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you, I read an article one time, and Hank Aaron was giving a tip to the batter, mm-hmm, in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, when you go up to bat, he said, if you're lucky enough to hit a home run off of him, he said, don't run fast, don't run slow, keep your head down, don't look at, mm-hmm, him. As you're on the bases, do not look at him, he said, or the next time you're up, he's going to hit you in the head.
Yeah, that's right.
And,
that's what Mickey Mantle used to say. If you watch Mickey Mantle's home run trots,
he never
looked at the pitcher because he said, I didn't want to embarrass him.
That's right. That's right. And back then they did that. Now they're jumping up and down, waving their arms and stuff. Yeah. But you look at Bob Gibson's record, and almost every year he completed most of his games.
Yeah. So there's a statistic for you. In I think in 4 years, and I can call it up if you'd like, but in 4 years he had more complete games than 11 years worth of the entire Cardinals games.
Oh yeah.
So it was amazing.
Oh he was and he was good. I mean, he wasn't just, you know, mediocre that finished the games because the Cardinals were high scoring.
Mm-hmm.
He was good. I mean, batters feared him. It's just like Nolan Ryan, when a batter was up, they said they couldn't even see the ball.
No.
They heard it go by him. They couldn't see it.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, it's a
fun sport to really be a fan of. I mean, everybody's got their sports. I get it. And we deep dive a little bit. But it's fun because you have a history to look at.
Yeah.
You know, I feel privileged to have teams in our area, Boston, New York, that are Philadelphia, that have been around a long time. So you've got some real history to talk about.
Right.
I can't imagine, you know, the Marlins. I mean, yeah, you got a World Series, but was kind of one and done type thing.
Right.
Where if we get a chance to really look back at the legends, and I have to admit, you know, the media wasn't then what it is now, and they don't afford the opportunity to see the statistics of Lou Gehrig or how many complete games Bob Gitson pitched. Or, we didn't talk about that because that's just the way they played.
That's right.
Now it's such an unusual statistic.
Oh, most definitely. I don't even know if a pitcher goes complete games today unless they're pitching
no-hitter. But not many. And then their goal really isn't to get a complete game. We want to get them to the fifth.
Five innings, right. Get lucky if you get into six.
Middle reliever, then you turn off the closer.
Of course, the Yankees, this closer that was supposed to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Was doing pretty good, and you know, for the beginning of April a little bit, and last two games he's gone in, lost in the ninth inning.
Yep. Well, we're spoiled because we had Mariano for so long.
I know.
Right, and when you think about it, two games. There's 162 games in a season. Mariano had a couple of blown saves.
Oh, I know. I know.
But I just think this, I don't know him as well as I would have known normally, as I haven't paid as much of attention to the early season. He's going to turn it around.
He's going to be all right. I think they were talking last night, Paul O'Neill and Michael Kay, that he gave up a home run. And Milwaukee lost the last game of the season, which cost them a spot in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So you don't know how much residual that carries over with confidence.
Then playing in New York?
And playing in New York. Well, said that he's got to get used to the surroundings, you know. But I just feel bad for him. I mean, they went in and he gave up, what, four runs to lose the game, and then last night was silly. All little dinky hits, though, so what are you going to do? But anyway, we can get back to the Yankees making fun of them. And not really, because we're both big Yankee fans.
I myself don't have any tattoos of the Yankees, but I think I know a guy in this room that does.
Yeah, and one of them, you know, I got
They're
it.
Probably all sagging now.
No, they're not. They're bulked up. I keep that in those areas bulked right up, you know.
Yeah.
My wife allowed me to have one after 2 years of pleading and begging on my hands and knees.
Yeah.
So back, I don't know, when my daughter Sarah was younger, she liked a band. I don't know what it was, Green Day or whatever the heck the name of the band was, and they were playing in Boston. So Peg took Sarah to Boston. They stayed overnight, and I said, aha. So I went down to the tattoo place that I got my first Yankee tattoo, and I had him put the it's the NY on the right arm. So I had him put the top hat, the red top hat with Yankees in the back going through. And I had it up high so that my T-shirt would hide it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to keep a salve on it for a couple of days. And she came home, and I was doing the dishes one night, and my T-shirt kind of rode up a little bit, and she goes, "What's that on your arm?" I said, "Ah, magic marker." I said, She goes, "You got another tattoo?" And I said, "Yeah, well, you were away." And she goes, "I thought you said you're only going to get one." And I said, "Well, it's better than a hula girl on my arm."
That's right.
I had an uncle who was in the Navy back during World War II, and they used to R&R in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my grandmother's sister's husband, my great uncle. Mm-hmm. And he had a tattoo of a hula girl on his forearm.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came over, when he flexed his forearm, the girl would dance. And I always wanted one of those.
Yeah.
Of course, he said when you went to Hawaii back then, it was a tropical island.
Sure.
It wasn't, there was no blacktop, no big hotels.
Right.
He said, you know. But yeah, we always used to like when he came over on Sundays for dinner. He flexed his arm, and that's why I got into a thing with grass skirts. Yeah, you know, I just couldn't believe it. But anyway, I want to talk a little bit about, we got a lot of things to talk about as far as the upcoming election and things that are going on. And of course, you know, I had John Safford, our mayor, on a little while before. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, yeah, 2 years ago, early over the winter, actually, of 3 years ago, Matt Veach, our county supervisor, had secured a $50,000 grant for the expansion of the Woodlawn parking lot across from Stewart's, not, you know, not the one across by the breakfast place there, Country Kitchen. Because for about, well, ever since that parking lot was built, I was bothering Skip Scirocco. Of course, he never did anything. So Matt, you know, was a constant guest on the show 3-4 times a year, and I would talk about it and complain. And he ended up getting a $50,000 grant that could only be used for that expansion because it's very hard to get in there if you've got traffic coming both ways. Well, they haven't done anything with it yet, and it's been 2 years. Yeah. So, of course, in our crazy form of government, I had John on last year, and I had saw him in Walmart, and I said, look, I don't like springing any questions on anybody. Yeah. I said, you know, we only have politicians on here when they're running for office to find out, you know, what they want to do, not pigeonhole them and because they're a different political party than I have, you know, because I, you know, whatever. And he said, I saw him in Walmart and I said, you're going to be on the show Saturday, John. I said, what, can you find out from Joe O'Neill, who's the deputy commissioner of public works, what they're doing with this expansion? Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah. He says, you know, I don't have anything to do with it. I said, no, I understand. I know how this government works. And
Or doesn't work.
Yeah. It doesn't work. And he came on the show and he said, I checked with O'Neill. It's on the schedule for this year. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, of course, 2023 went by and nothing. 2024, he was on and it's on the schedule, Rick. I don't know what to tell you. And I keep calling O'Neill up, leave a message, email him. So he was on at the beginning of the month, and he said, I know what you're going to ask me. He said, I talked to him, and he said, it's on the schedule. I said, John, I know you don't have anything to do with it, but, I mean, can't you do something to push this guy into opening that garage? What? I mean, you know, are we just getting ready for Belmont and the 4th of July and the Saratoga opening for horse racing? Is that all we care about now? And he says, no, I'll try, Rick, he said, but that's another department. I said, I know. So still haven't heard anything. I call, and so they're sitting on that $50,000 grant that the county gave us. I hope they didn't use it for anything else because I'll kick and complain. But because when Matt was on, he said, well, after all these years of you complaining and that, he says, you know, they ended up giving me $50,000 probably to keep you quiet so you're not complaining about it anymore. But I said to John, you know, John, politicians get elected into office on a platform of changing the charter. I said, and then they get in. Like yourself, mm-hmm. and he's a friend, but I said, like yourself, and you want to update this form of government. And I said, it doesn't work. What is it that you don't understand?
You know, Rick, it's like someone gets in, they're driving an old jalopy, and they're like, well, why don't we put some new tires on it? You know what I mean? And you're sitting there and you're thinking, no, guys, it's not that. Trade the jalopy in and give me a good reason why we should keep the jalopy. And the answer is, you can't.
No.
There's nobody, you know.
Put it up on cement blocks and keep it for the future.
And as you know, I've been doing the same thing 20-something years now. We want a charter change.
Well, I've been with you. Yeah. We know
we're
this.
In the 95.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as I said, it goes in there, and then you look at all the shenanigans. And I'm not saying anybody broke the law, because I can't prove it. But
right.
You just look at it and you say, and I saw it for the last 4 years of the federal government. They just do stuff. Or not, and you have no insights to what's going on. And then all of a sudden you step back and go like, this is our tax dollars.
I know.
And it's not like we don't live in a great community, but as you know and I know, it isn't. We're successful in spite of the form of government. And for many years, you and I were running around town trying to get people to convince to try to change. And then you just go like, let's put a referendum on what this one is. Let's defend keeping this. And they can't, and they won't, because it's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. And you see the infighting. The names have changed. The faces have changed. The infighting, it might be a little worse than it was before, but it's still unprofessional, unpleasant, and it tunes people out.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at this like it's, you know, they could burn through $50,000 in 2 days of making some changes. But the bigger picture is, it is the most inefficient form of government, and all the good people that serve in it and work for it, it's a muted past because there's just no way we've ever gotten things done.
No,
I think I've told you before, you know, I asked one of the elected officials a few years back, hey, can you get me a copy of the economic development plan? And I knew what the answer was before I asked. And then, yeah, sure. Yeah. So I saw him a month later. I said, did you get that copy of the economic development plan? You know, it's hard to find. Where do you think it should be? It wasn't, you know, his department. And I said, when's the last one we've had? Do you know? And he says, no. I said, I don't. We've never had one, ever.
Yeah.
And it's because we, you know, put a plan in place, it just never gets executed on. And you think about it, as prosperous a city as we are, running in the dark ages, this is asinine.
Yeah.
Absolutely asinine. But there's so many other good things that are going on. I think we've got wonderful business people. I think we've got great restaurateurs. We've got all kinds of service organizations that are doing wonderful things. It's when you get through the doors at City Hall, it just breaks down. And it's no reflection on the people that work there. It's the environment that they're in.
Well, most definitely. And, you know, I mean, you're more in tune and involved than I am. I mean, I base my opinion on where I came from with my dad being in politics and of course a mayor alderman form, but you were in the design review committee, you were on that a long time, and you know, so you know a lot more inner workings of the city. But I mean, whenever we have someone on, you know, they'll admit, they say, look, you know, I'm mayor, but I don't run the city. I don't run City Hall. I run the mayor's department. If you've got a problem with the streets, you have to call Public Works.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a problem with a neighbor and noise, you have to call Public Safety. But Public Works cannot go into Public Safety's department mm-hmm. for anything. I mean, when Public Works plows Public Safety's areas, like the fire departments and that, the fire department has to take out of their budget the money to pay Public Safety for plowing mm-hmm. them. Never heard of such a thing, but and it's sad because you've got a mayor, and I consider John a good mayor, who has no input whatsoever on either the finance department, the accounts department, Public Works, or Public Safety. Now, those departments should be run by themselves by professionals, though. And I always maintained that, you know, deputy commissioners really could be department heads. Because basically they're running the departments and they get paid well.
Yep.
Commissioners don't get paid tiddly, I mean, but they're the legislative and really the department heads.
Right.
Because, and I forgot how much they get, but 18,000 maybe. Or
currently the commissioner gets 14.5. They're going to go up 14.5. It's going to go up on the next term. They weren't allowed to vote for their own.
Right, they can't.
It comes into the next term.
Yeah. It's still not enough. But on the other hand,
it's you know, again, I'm going back to the argument that I agree with you. The amount of time these people put in from a financial perspective, it's right. But when you look at other forms of government, whatever you want to call them, aldermen. They typically are doing it for free. And I'm not just saying to save the money. It's like the argument that Reagan had and now Trump has got with the education department. You got all this money coming in. What are your results? Your results are pathetic.
Yeah,
well, why are we doing this? Why are we spending that? And so I look at Saratoga. I love it. I mean, I wasn't born here. I was born in Hadley, but I got here as fast as I could. And the point I'm saying is that we can, you know, what we see now is good. It could be great, but we don't know what great is because we're stuck in this time warp of this asinine form of government.
Right.
And you sit back and you think about it, and it's like, you put the good people in place, whether they be employees or elected officials, and they're doomed to fail because we've got an asinine form of government. Right. And if it was such a good form of government, other cities would be using it.
That's right. You know? And our form of government, right, our commission form is probably less than 20 in the country now. I mean, there were only, what, 26?
We're the largest in the world. The largest in the world.
Right.
And there hasn't been an adoption of this form of government in 79 years.
Yeah. So that shows how good it is.
So people who changed from this form of government went to something else. Strong mayor, city manager. Not one of those hundreds and hundreds of people that have left or cities that have left ever came back. They may have switched from one to the other and the other forms. Nobody has adopted this. You know, as we get older, we all start thinking about our health. And if your doctor said to you, you know, you have a brain tumor and we've got to fix that, you wouldn't go to somebody that's going to operate with an axe. You'd go to somebody who can do surgery. And this form of government is literally so asinine and so ill-prepared to deal with things. And then it just breeds this contaminated barking at each other that, yes, all forms of government have a certain degree about that. But you sit there and you're like, you're supposed to be executing the tax dollars,
right,
not fighting amongst each other. You're not this and you're not that. Everybody's off freewheeling and doing their own thing. And I've had many friends that became elected officials. And I'd have frank conversations like, how the hell are you getting anything done? They're like, we're not. Yeah, we're not.
I know.
We're kind of like getting the big stuff.
You know, people say, geez, Rick, you know, you always talk about this. And like you said, back when the community initiative started back in 95, Lynn Goodness and I went out and got the signatures that were required. The two of us did. And the mayor at the time, Mike Lenz, had started a commission, and then he lost the election.
I was on that commission.
I know you were.
Yeah.
And it disbanded. And I think that's where I ended up becoming more involved, you know, because I was hoping in my lifetime I would see it changed. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But and then from there, when Valerie Keene got in as mayor, she took the signatures and formed her own commission. And I got appointed because she ended up putting three Democrats, three Republicans, and three independents on. And and then it snowballed from there. It lost. And then we started, I think we had two community initiatives. Mm-hmm. And then a mayor-appointed commission again, which lost by 10 votes.
I was on that one, too.
You were on that one. And, I mean, we had a lot of community involvement, so I was on that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know more of the intricacies of the form because, I mean, you know, you studied it to get prepared for your positions on these commissions. But people that are moving in here say to themselves, what is going on?
Oh, yeah.
Those that immerse themselves in local politics, mm-hmm, want to find out what's going on. Probably two-thirds of the community have no clue what form of government we have, mm-hmm, how inefficient it is. And, I mean, probably two-thirds of the people think the mayor runs the city.
Mm-hmm.
And he has no power other than building the building department and the mayor's department, which probably I'd say 50% of that is ceremonial. But it's just, I don't know. It's very, very frustrating when you know what's going on and what could happen, you know.
Years ago, I was on the Children's Museum Board with some outstanding people. And the conversation struck with, you know, we needed to get a professional fundraiser. You know, because you're trying to raise money for a new building and, you know, they aren't sick kids. They're not this. So it's hard to raise money for a good thing. You know what I mean? Still a noble cause, but nonetheless,
sure,
it's not kids with cancer, that kind of stuff. So the conversation came around the table about, should we hire somebody who can literally write some grants, do all that kind of stuff? And, you know, half of the room said we can't afford it. The other half of the room said we can't afford not to. Right? Because our goal said we have to grow, we have to raise money. What we were doing wasn't working to get us the big numbers that we needed. Well, I'll tell you what, once you made that conversation start by saying we can't afford not to, then people, almost the whole team reversed course and said, you know, you're right, we got to hire somebody. It wasn't a lot of money, but if you think back, we don't have that vision yet. John's not allowed to have the vision to institute things citywide. There's right. too many other players. And oftentimes, there's some severe personality clashes. And I'm going to use that term lightly.
Harsher than severe.
Yeah. And yeah. that is the dysfunctional that causes all of our, and I say that there's five teams inside City Hall. Five.
Independent.
Teams. Five different jerseys. Five different coaches. Five different general managers.
Yeah.
Reporting to us. And I will tell you that, as I said, I've been involved in all the citizen initiatives. I've been involved with almost all of the commissions themselves, other than the one that Meg Kelly had where she wanted to keep the commission form, and that was the biggest loss.
Right.
But that should have been the key to it all. Like, if people are voting against the form of government that we have, why aren't we doing something different?
Right.
But for some, obviously, a lot of people just aren't engaged. They don't know. They touch the city when they turn their water on in the morning, or when they get in the road and the plows are ahead of them.
Right.
But the rest of us are looking at it going, what are you talking about? We got people who are pitting each department against each other. You've got people who aren't collecting fines because the money goes into the general fund rather than to their fund. You got stupid stuff going. I'm not expecting perfection, but I certainly don't want to settle for asinine.
No. Now we're having problems with the finance side of our government.
Really?
And, well, yeah, I don't think we're maintaining the same reserves as we used to, even though we're making more money, from what I read. You don't know because it's very hard to get information out. And then, you know, we got a problem with the accounts. And some of the decisions that department head has made. I don't know. I'm afraid of what's coming down the line because it affects everything. I mean, our school board has gotten a little bit daffy. To veer off, the other night they had a town hall meeting, and they said there were 1,000 people there, all right?
Yeah.
And Paul Tonko, our congressman that represents here, seems like when somebody gets elected into office, they can stay forever, yeah. especially Congress, yeah. And I known Paul when he was an alderman in Amsterdam, because I had a business in Amsterdam, and he's a nice enough guy, but I think he's a lousy politician. Yeah. But he just keeps getting elected because when you're from a small area that elects a congressman mm-hmm. or congresswoman, they want to keep the same thing. It always seems an incumbent's hard to beat.
Yeah.
But, you know, they don't tell you that the 1,000 people, probably 700 of them, were busting from Albany, Schenectady, and surrounding areas. There weren't 1,000 Saratogians there. And they're going for the DEI and, you know, the trans books in schools and that they were pro that. And I saw where David Bronner, who can be a controversial figure, said that he had gone there because he wanted to find out the pros and cons of what people were talking about. And he said they wouldn't let any questions that were against DEI or whatever hit Tonko, that it was all, you know, tariffs and keeping the trans books and whatever in schools. And, you know, I'm just saying to myself, city government filters down to different boards. And I also have to say, you made a point before that if it wasn't for our wonderful businesses and citizens that care about Saratoga that will donate money to improve different things all the time, Saratoga wouldn't be what it is.
Oh,
I mean, our business people back in the 70s, late 70s and 80s, are what made Saratoga.
Saratoga plan of action was turn the city around from destitute to what it is today. But we have a lot of good employees of the city and the county.
My gosh, now,
it's the system they have to work in.
Right.
It's like having a baseball team with a lousy coach.
Yeah.
You can put the guys on the field all you want, but if they're not calling good strategy, we're not doing it. And we're not able to do that. But you do have good people in places that you thank your lucky stars when you interact with them. But the volunteerism here in this community is second to none.
That's right.
And you've got, you know, people that are on boards, people are serving through their service organizations or the community groups, PTAs, things like that. That's great.
Nonprofits, it's great. It really is.
But you do get, unfortunately, you get a very muted stream of information or none at all.
Right.
And, you know, that's a sign of the times. You know, it's, I have to check my news sources like four times because, one says this, one says that. Yeah. What's the real story? And now we've got AI. I'm seeing stuff come up on the internet.
Oh, my gosh.
That can't be real.
No, I know. I mean, it's amazing.
But it turns people off instead of turning people on.
It makes people become passive because they figure they can't change anything. So why bother? And that ends up being magnified when you have a city like Saratoga that's doing well.
Yeah.
You know, I think, I don't know. I get frustrated. I know you and I talk about it all the time. I talk about it on the show a lot whenever somebody's running for office. And, you know, to get their opinion on you know, how they see the form of government work. And every one of them says that, you know, they want to go in and make changes because it's hard to work in this form of government. But once they get in, it just, you know, doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Anyway, I think just touching one more thing on, I want to hit another couple subjects. We have 14 minutes to go.
Yeah,
I don't know how the heck this time goes by.
Yeah,
we have nothing to talk about or a couple questions on outline. And but anyway, I think that parking lot issue is because of the form of government. It's on the schedule, but nobody's to make sure that schedule is finished in the year.
And that's the downside of the form of government. And instead it says, you know, the priorities are diverse. Not because we've, you know, stood and talked about, we can put the master plan together all we want. It's always very political.
Yeah.
It's always a little bit, unable to be measured. And so, as I said, it's not like, I think we've gone, as we see now in the federal government, we've gone more towards the business side, the operational side of how do you spend tax dollars rather than the emotional side. And right, wrong, or indifferent, at least there's accountability.
Yeah.
When you start to say, here's your budget, here's what you spent, whatever, on. What happened here? Is it good, bad, or indifferent? I don't know. Should we do more of it? Should we do less of it?
Right. And I'd rather do that. And at the end of the 4 years, take a look and say, all right, we had a business perspective on how to run government. We're making wholesale changes now. Mm-hmm. All right. Some of them may be going too far. I don't know. But I like what's going on. And at the end of 4 years, you can take a look back and say, well, you know what? Some of the things were okay. Some of the things weren't. So whoever gets in after that can keep some of the good things, hopefully, and change some of the things that were.
Well, we're data right now everywhere but the form of government is a data-driven organization. We do it in business world. We do it in our personal lives. You know, when you buy something, you're always looking at the reviews. You know, is this a good thing or bad thing? We're always inquisitive to figure out, are we making the right decision?
Right.
And I find that to be non-existent.
Yeah.
In City Hall.
No, I agree.
And it's because not that bad people get elected. It's just it's like an inoperable brain tumor. Yeah. It's not going to work.
Nobody,
you can tweak it all you want, but it's not going to work.
Nobody that gets elected in Saratoga, even though we complain about the form, gets elected because they're bad people. They're all good people and they want to dedicate their time. And I remember John Frank, who's a friend of ours, was commissioner of accounts for years. And he said to be in this form of government, that you either have to be wealthy, retired, or own your own business to dedicate the time that's involved in being a commissioner. And like we said, they don't get paid an awful lot. And they're both the legislative and administrative roles that they play. But anyway, hey, we have an election coming up in November, and we have some interesting people running for office. I was very surprised that Matt Veach, our county supervisor, who's done an excellent job for the time he's been in, has decided not to run. After he was going to run, he decided not to run. I don't blame him in a way. He's been in for quite a while, and the grind of being a supervisor for that long is difficult, and he's still a young guy. But I was really surprised.
Everybody's young compared to you, Rick.
Yeah, I know. I know. But I can't. I can't.
You got tumbleweeds around you all the time.
It's taken so long to get here that I'm happy, you know.
They always say, if you knew you were going to live this long, you'd take better care of yourself.
Better believe it, baby. Anyway, I was really shocked because Matt has been really good for Saratoga.
But you know what? You're biased. Matt's a good man. He's a good man. He's a good friend. Yeah. He's a good neighbor. He means well. He does well. It's time for him to take a break. I think he's retired now from Verizon.
He is.
I think that's the case. I'm not trying to spread nasty rumors, but he was a long-time employee at Verizon. I know he's well thought of and everything. And he's also done, he's volunteered a lot of his free time. Many of the things that I talk about, Matt Veach is involved in, whether it's caring for a cemetery on the west side, or Matt's right in there.
And he was named head of the alumni group at Plattsburgh.
Yep. Yeah, he's on the board of directors.
So he's on the board of directors, and I mean, he immerses himself in a lot of public service.
He's definitely a great guy.
I'm going to be sad that he's not going on. Had him on the show, maybe 4 or 5 times of the year. Yep. To update what the supervisors are doing for Saratoga. And he texted me and he said, I'll still be on the show because he's a great Saratoga historian. Yeah. And he said, we can do history shows. But fine with me, Matt. Yeah. He's a great guy and stuff. But we have some people running for office that...
Well, wait a minute. I'm going to interrupt you. Did I read... I don't know much about it. I saw a quick glimpse. Did we have a former commissioner get arrested?
Yes, I can't understand that either. Robin Dalton, who was commissioner of public safety during COVID, and she had a tough job during COVID. There was a lot of baloney going on in Saratoga back then. Mm-hmm. And I read that in the paper. She was arrested at Walmart for petty larceny, which surprised me because she doesn't need to do petty larceny. And I thought maybe she did something that absentmindedly.
Yeah.
I don't know the story of it. I like Robin. Robin was on the show when she was in office, and we had a lot of talks.
You feel bad because there's more to the story, I'm sure.
Oh, most definitely.
I mean, she may have had other struggles in life that we don't know about.
Exactly.
She's had some family issues above her, not currently, but her father had quite a few fraud cases.
Right.
But you don't know. You don't. But it's heartbreaking because she has children.
Yeah.
She's in the community. I'm hoping that it's not an addiction type of thing. And some people do have an addiction, despite the fact that they may have a job and they don't need that slab of bacon that they're stealing. But it's whatever. Maybe it's just, I hope it's a one-time thing.
I hope it's nothing. I like Robin. Robin's a good person as far as I'm concerned. And
it's shocking, though. It's shocking.
It was. When I read that, I said to my wife, I said, I just... It's sad because I don't know. I mean, she was a public servant for the community. Mm-hmm. She gave up her time. Yep. And, I don't know. We'll see what happens on that end. It's sad. But like I said, the fall elections are coming up. And our mayor, John Safford, who I think is doing a great job. John's a great guy. He's been on the show for years because he was running for supervisor. And he's very knowledgeable and soft-spoken and easygoing. I mean, he doesn't get upset one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's very, very smart man. And he ran for supervisor a couple of times. He was on and stuff. But he's got an opposition who, I don't like talking bad about
people. Who's his opponent?
Michelle Madigan.
What?
Former commissioner of finance.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, not at all.
With her? Is that the best the Democrats could put up is her?
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me.
No.
That woman's got 10 miles of bad road behind her.
I know.
I could never see her. She has got lots of challenges.
Guts, I'll tell you, she does.
I mean, guts is one thing, but her conduct, personal conduct, is reprehensible.
Oh yeah. Well, so somebody had said to me that there wasn't Jan, who was her opponent, because he wouldn't run a smear campaign if you paid him $1 million. Yep. I mean, but they said, you know, it's on the internet for people to see.
Oh, Rick, I interacted with her a lot during this whole thing, and she has some challenges and some demons that should not be in city government.
Yep.
Her time in city government was marred by her conduct.
Oh, definitely.
And we'll call it on and off the field. There was a lot of bad bags around that woman, and she should just stay retired and do whatever she does in retirement, because trying to run a city like this with her challenges,
well, she's
no
a county
way.
Supervisor. And, I mean, I guess she was doing good there. It's very hard for a Democrat to do well on the Board of Supervisors, because we're still a Republican area surrounding Saratoga. Saratoga's become a Democratic city now, but it's very hard for a Democrat, and I think she's one of four on the Board of Supervisors, to do anything, because there's 20-some members or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can have the best intentions and trying to do a good job to get
news.
Shot down.
That's shocking news.
Yeah.
I mean, she's had a lot of off-the-field antics that I didn't put two and two together. There was an incident out on Cape Cod recently where the police were called in and, you know, she was, whatever, I won't get into the gory details, but off the field, this woman's got a lot of challenges, and I cannot believe that we put her in a position where we could, you know, take some of those challenges and make it worse.
Her. Yeah, I don't understand, but you know what? It's going to happen. And you know, John had, I saw him out, and I always meet him in Walmart. I don't know why, but
he's not a greeter there, is he?
Yeah,
he doesn't make enough money to be.
No. But we were talking, and he said, you know, it's sad because there's going to be a lot of stuff brought up, negative stuff, and I don't know if I would want to go through that, because she was in office for 10 years as Commissioner of Finance. Had a tough time, probably the last
six
years.
Yeah.
And but, you know, we'll see. It's going to be an interesting race, because honestly, I think John's done a great job of bringing civility back on the council table after a rocky couple of years before, and you know, and it's hard to control for people when you can't get into their workings, you know, and that. So that's going to be an interesting one. The Sarah Berger is going to run for supervisor. I like Sarah. Sarah was former city attorney. She's got a very, very good law practice.
Yep. Deep passion for Saratoga. Now, I'm not a Democrat, but I'm going to vote for Sarah.
Oh, Sarah's excellent.
Yeah, in my mind, she's nonpartisan.
She always
listens and is fair.
Sarah's a very fair. Sarah's a great person.
Yep,
she is.
Yep. The father's here. She's got a long history. I don't know how many generations, but she loves this city.
She loves the city, and she loves doing things for people.
Yep.
I mean, I
volunteer as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good one. I know our commissioner of finance, I think John's Manita? Deputy mayor. Yeah, she's leaving.
Manita's going for council.
For supervisor. She's going for supervisor. Yeah.
How many jobs does she want? I mean, she's gone from, and I know Manita well.
Yeah. She's a professor up here at Skidmore.
Yep. And she was on the charter commission with me and
very nice person. She ran against Jim Tedisco for state senate.
Now she wants to run for senate.
And she's going to run for supervisor now. And I think she'll make a good supervisor too.
I wonder where some of these career paths. Very rarely does anybody come out of Saratoga City politics, go to the next step and keep going.
Right.
They always bump into the Jim Tedisco's or the Paul Tonkos of the world that are just rock solid in their position.
Well,
I just wish
she'd
stay.
Yeah,
we should stay for another couple of years. But I know Joanne Kiernan well, and she's very, very strong.
Right, right.
Very strong.
No,
she's got a lot of experience, too.
Yeah.
She's been on a school board. She knows the town.
And she owns a couple of businesses, that do on Broadway, small businesses that do well. I mean, it's going to be an interesting. We've got some great candidates this fall, and that's going to be interesting. And I'd like to have them on the show to see what they have plans to do and stuff. And, you know, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Well, who's that handsome guy behind you?
Well, I was just going to introduce him.
Me, the one behind me?
Pat, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. It's always good to see both of you guys.
Time goes by so fast, I tell you. I can't believe it. Yeah, right now.